Today, what happens when the digital prison falters? Hi again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Well, that is post covering finance and property news. Once again, Australians have been hit by a serious telecommunications outage, which started on Wednesday morning at around 4:20 a.m. and was triggered in Telstra by a software issue when a human was working on their system. Rather opaquely, they said that a particular node restarted as work was happening on it, and as it restarted, a software glitch was triggered. The systems crashed. During the outage which followed, which was probably caused by timing errors across the network, phones, internet, email, SMS, messaging, banking transactions, including FPOST, and even some trains which rely on network connections, all failed. By Friday, most systems were finally back up, apart from a small number of the telco's enterprise customers that have more sophisticated solutions that will need to be serviced by field visits to reset devices. Some emergency calls did fail during the outage, and ironically, Telstra's CEO couldn't do a Teams call because of the telco's own outage. She's actually on holiday in Europe at the time. The impact was clearly serious, though as yet the total cost on people have yet to be calculated. But the economic costs of the latest Telstra network outage could run into hundreds of millions of dollars. RMIT Associate Professor Mark Gregory, who is with RMIT's School of Engineering, has done previous reports on the estimated economic costs of telecommunications outages, including at Optus in 2023. And he says it could be difficult to quantify the costs of outages, but a conservative estimate would be an average cost of $4,000 to $5,000 an hour for small to medium businesses. If you look at the average Australian small business, especially cafes working in the morning shift between 6 a.m. and 10 a.m, the costs of this 4 or 5 hours could be $20,000 or more, he said. The broader economic losses are likely to run into the hundreds of millions. Based upon the figures that we looked at for small to medium enterprise and the number of hours, the fact that it was intermittent and only impacting the mobile network, then you're looking at a couple of $100 million, possibly more than that, in terms of lost economic activity, he said. And he says those figures don't account for extra economic costs to larger businesses and government organisations. Lost productivity due to telecommunications outages meant that there's going to be an ongoing cost, not just to small businesses, but to medium and large businesses too, and governments, organisations as well. While telecommunications outages affect small to medium enterprises first and foremost, the larger organisations are able to delay meetings or put off decision-making, whereas the SMEs are most likely happening now that we've got transactions that have got to occur, he said. The latest Telstra outage had a broader impact than other recent outages, including Optus's network outage in November 2023 and the 000 service outage in 2024. Taking trains offline meant that people couldn't get to work. People were delayed by many hours. You've got this whole disruption occurring, and then the impacts on vehicle fleets, it impacts ambulances, it impacts emergency services. It's right across the board. The Telecommunications Industry Ombudsman, Cynthia Gibbert, is urging people to first complain to Telstra, but said if they fail, they should contact her office. And she said the outage had a significant financial impact on some Australians, particularly for small businesses. People haven't been able to make contact with clients where they've been going for jobs. The truth is that these days we rely too much on the unified telecommunications networks, which have become the single conduits for so many different digital signals and paths. Years ago, we would have had multiple disparate systems and networks, but now everything is carried over the same complex infrastructure. Get one glitch and things stop. get a power cut and everything stops. The recent job cuts in the telco industry, outsourcing of capability and unification of systems raises questions about the risks of what has become for many, frankly, a digital prison. You have to use those systems. You have no choice, from banking to shopping to interacting with government. And yet, this is just the latest in this series of major outages across telecommunication providers like Telstra and Optus, as well as problems with the core systems of several of our major banks. Because so much has been migrated to these digital systems, we're now prisoners of these very systems. And the government, of course, is still pushing for digital IDs and mandatory access controls. And I've discussed before the rising use of cash by households who are choosing to use this more reliable system of payment despite the bank's best efforts to stamp out cash usage and the government's very weak rules to so-called preserve cash use. Cash continues to work when the power goes off and the digital systems fail. So I think we need to rethink our approach to the digital network future. Like Scandinavian countries, who were once global pioneers of completely digitalized societies and who are now initiating a major digital reckoning as they're slowing down their transition to fully cashless societies. In Sweden, for example, they passed legislation requiring essential retailers like grocery stores and pharmacies to accept physical cash. And the Swedish central bank, the Riksbank, also advised citizens to keep at least a week's supply of cash at home for emergencies. Furthermore, major banks are launching offline card payment solutions to function for up to 7 days during severe internet or power disruptions. In Norway, they introduced legislation that fines or sanctions retailers who refuse to accept cash, and the government has actively advised citizens to keep physical currency on hand as a national defense measure. And in Finland and Estonia, they're actively developing offline card payment networks and instant payment fallback systems to maintain essential transactions if international data links are compromised. While mobile payment platforms like Sweden's Swish or Norway's Vipps remains dominant for everyday use, regional central banks emphasize that relying entirely on a digital financial infrastructure creates a severe vulnerability to sabotage, war, or cyber attacks. So driven by national security risks and financial inclusion concerns, nations like Sweden and Norway are legally mandating the return of cash and developing robust offline backup systems to protect against cyber threats and infrastructure outages. We should be doing the same rather than the half-dressed stuff on offer, which actually dissuades retailers from using cash transactions. And it's broader, way broader than just payments and cash too. For example, across education, beyond that driven by falling literacy rates and concerns over youth mental health, Scandinavian nations again are actively reintroducing physical books, handwriting, and stricter offline policies. The governments have pivoted away from screen-heavy instruction by stopping mandatory digital device use in preschools. And Sweden has implemented a nationwide school phone ban and committed hundreds of millions of krona to put physical textbooks back in classrooms. And the government cited research indicating that heavy tablet use hindered earlier brain development, focus, and reading comprehension. In Denmark, after pioneering tablet-based classrooms over a decade ago, they passed major investments to provide physical books to elementary classrooms over a 10-year period. The ban on phones has expanded beyond classrooms to youth centres and athletic clubs to force kids to take breaks from constant connectivity. And in Finland, similar laws restricting mobile devices in schools came into effect to scale back over-digitalisation for younger students. So we must not be held hostage to big tech, digital networks and other high-tech tools, which too easily can become our prison. And of course, fail often. This requires a change of policy from government and a pivot away from large corporations running their businesses to simply maximize profits at any price. I think the digital prison is frankly close to being complete, but the door is not yet shut on change, but one day It may be so. So ironically, Digital Finance Analytics is calling for a rollback from digital to secure a safe analog future. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.